with Granger.
Now, Mr. Roylance, you may sit up.
Thank you, Dr. Damon.
Oh, how do you feel?
Wonderful, Doctor. Simply wonderful.
Oh, it's been a long series of treatments, I know. But you've done such a wonderful job of recovering, I'm quite proud of you.
Thank you, Doctor. Without your care, your tenderness, your very deep understanding, I never would have made it.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
I would, Doctor. And I know what will cure me permanently.
Oh, and what is that, Mr. Roylance?
Please, Doctor, don't be so formal. Call me Mark.
Very well, Mark.
Thank you.
Go on.
I've come to a decision, Doctor. We're going to be married.
How nice. Who is the girl?
You are.
What?
During all these long weeks, I've watched you. I've come to love you. I can't live without you.
Mr. Roylance, please let go of my arm.
I won't hurt you. I couldn't. I just want to hold you in my arms.
Roylance, you're not quite yourself.
No, and I shan't be until you're mine. Mine, do you hear?
This is Steve Granger, private detective, with a story about a doctor and a patient in a relationship which blended marriage and murder. In just a moment, I'll take you back to one of my most interesting cases. This is Granger. It was a sunny summer day. The kind of day when a private eye's fancy finally turns to thoughts of folding money and a hoodlum's heart to homicide. In response to a message, I was on my way to the offices of a Dr. Damon.
Yes, what is it?
I'm Steve Granger. Got a message to see a Dr. Damon at 2:00.
Oh, come in, please.
Thank you.
Won't you sit down?
Thanks. Well, where's the doc?
Mr. Granger, I am the doctor.
Yep.
Dr. Elsa Damon.
A lady doctor, no less.
I'm a psychiatrist. I had you come over because I have a serious problem.
Don't tell me. Let me guess. You got a patient who needs protecting.
On the contrary, Mr. Granger, it's the doctor who needs protecting.
Meaning you?
Yes.
Well, suppose you give me the lowdown on the situation, huh?
Very well. I have a patient named Mark Roylance.
Mm-hmm.
He was released from a mental institution some time ago.
It's a promising start.
However, he responded readily to treatment, so the institution released him. He continued his treatments with me.
Now, that's what I would call a pleasure.
Please. Now, Mark Roylance is a very attractive man.
Mm-hmm.
But our relationship has always been that of a doctor and patient. Until recently. His ideas became, shall we say, amorous.
That's a good start.
Today came the climax. He suddenly professed his love for me, asked me to marry him. Then he caught me in his arms and started to kiss me.
What did you do?
Obviously, I screamed.
Obviously.
Mr. Granger, this is a serious situation. Mark Roylance was on the verge of being completely cured. Any little thing might throw him off balance again, and months of work go to waste.
Well, what happened after the kissing routine?
Well, I managed to get rid of him. That evening, I was at home doing some work. He came to my apartment. He started to pound on the door, talking about his love for me. I was extremely annoyed. The neighbors were, too.
So, Doc, you want me to keep this gentleman away from you?
Precisely.
Elsa!
This is the guy, huh?
Yes.
Elsa, you've been avoiding me. Why?
Now, Mr. Roylance, please, just sit down. Be calm. Everything will be all right.
I know it will, because I'm going to see to it.
Mr. Roylance, I'd like to introduce an old friend. This is Steve Granger.
So, he's trying to break us up. He's an interloper. He wants you for himself.
Now, just a second, Roylance.
Come, Elsa, we're leaving. I do not approve of this man at all, particularly when we're about to be married. Get your coat, my dear.
I'm afraid I can't go with you, Mr. Roylance.
But you will.
You heard the doctor. She doesn't want to go. Why don't you just run along and find somebody else
you
to marry?
You shut up.
Okay, that does it. Now leave, mister. Or shall I call a police ambulance and have you taken someplace?
I'd like to see you try that.
Okay, keep watching.
Mr. Granger, look out!
I should never have turned my back on Mark Roylance. Because when I picked up the receiver and started to dial, he picked up a vase and let me have it. Rhododendrons and all. When I came to, Romeo Roylance had gone. So had his doctor. I got in touch with my friend, Lieutenant Jake Rankin, at police headquarters. He agreed to send out a pickup on the couple. Then I started for Dr. Damon's files, hoping to pick up a little information on Roylance. Under the proper initial in this file, I found what I was looking for. Gave his name, address, and record right down to the day before. On the bottom, there was a notation in red ink which said, "If aroused, this man could become homicidal." I'll continue with this interesting story in a minute. The situation for Dr. Damon was not looking too healthy with a character from the Happy House determined to make her his loving bride. I tried the belligerent bridegroom's phone number. No answer. So I got on to Lieutenant Jake Rankin again and passed on the added information I'd discovered.
Well, thanks, Granger. We'll do all we can.
Well, I hope you can do it fast. This guy had a pretty murderous look in his eyes.
Well, you be if we want you.
I'm going out to Dr. Damon's apartment. Maybe I can find something.
I hope it's not another vase over the head.
I got into the lady doctor's place with the help of the superintendent's pass key. This was it, an apartment on the Upper East Side. And Dr. Damon must have had her feminine side, too, because it was as frilly as a French boudoir. The living room was deserted except for the decor and something strange, a traveling bag resting in the middle of the carpet. I moved into the bedroom. Well, Dr. Damon, it's a pleasure to see you again.
Isn't it time for fun of...
Just take it easy. We'll have you free in a minute. Hey, this boy knows how to do this. How's that?
Oh, thanks, Grange. That was most uncomfortable.
You look like the victim of an Indian rope trick. Only you're still here. I'll have these ropes off in a minute.
Granger, we've got to get Mark Roylance back to that institution. He's dangerous.
I presume that traveling bag in the living room is yours?
Yes. He insisted we were to elope as soon as he returned.
How'd he get you here? Why didn't you scream or something?
I didn't dare. He's got a gun.
Look, Doc, you'd better go to a hotel. I'll stay here to greet him.
You?
Yeah. What a bride I'll make.
Please, this isn't funny. If he's crossed in anyway, he may become homicidal.
I know.
Well, are you sure you'll be safe when he comes back?
I think so. I want to return what he gave me in your office.
Phone. You don't suppose...
I'll answer it. Hello.
So, it's you, Granger.
Yeah. Why don't you come over here, Roylance? We'll all sit down and talk this thing over.
We will? You mean Elsa, you and the police? I'm not that stupid.
Listen, the police are looking for you, Roylance. Better give yourself up.
I won't do that. And Granger, stay out of my way. Because the next time we meet, I'll kill you.
Dr. Damon and I cabbed down to police headquarters where I explained what had happened to Lieutenant Rankin. Then the doctor filed a complaint. I suggested that she stay with Rankin while I went to Roylance's apartment on a hunch. There was a detective outside Roylance's apartment house to grab Roylance in case he tried to get into the building. I got to the apartment door. I never got a chance to look around.
Put up your hands.
How'd you get in here, baby?
I'll ask the questions. Don't move, please.
Anything you say.
What are you doing here?
I might be a friend of Mark Roylance's. Maybe he sent me up here after something.
You're lying. You're a prowler. I'm going to call the police.
I wish you would. When you get him, ask for Lieutenant Rankin and homicide. It'll save time.
You're a police officer?
I'm a private eye. My name is Steve Granger.
Why are you here?
Lady, both the police and I are looking for Mark Roylance.
What? Why? What's he done?
Oh, a little abduction, a threat to kill, assault with a dangerous weapon, if a vase can be called that.
Mark would never do those things.
Also, he kidnapped his doctor.
His doctor? You mean Dr. Damon? Why?
Because he's under the delusion that he's in love with her. He wants to marry her.
Marry her? That's the funniest thing I ever heard.
What's so funny about it?
Mark is already married. To me.
I stared at the woman as she laughed and identified herself as Celia Roylance, a silver-plated blonde with curves that would scare a hot rod driver.
Don't look so surprised, Mr. Granger.
This is really fun. Like to answer that?
Hello? Yes, he's here. It's the police department.
Thanks. Hello?
Hi, Granger. Say, did Dr. Damon get up there okay?
What? Say that again.
You mean she's not there?
Of course not.
But you called and told us to send her up there.
That wasn't me, Jake. Did you take the call yourself?
No, one of the boys outside did.
Then the delectable doctor has been grabbed by a homicidal maniac. The way this case was going, I was beginning to feel I'd be happier inside a nut house myself. And I wasn't too sure that I was not a candidate for one. What with a doctor who disappeared, a patient who was planning to pair himself off when he already had a wife, my head was dizzier than a kid with hiccups on a roller coaster. In just a moment, I'll bring you the climax of the case. Mark Roylance's apartment and his wife and made straight for Cal Hendricks' place. I figured the newsman might be some help in this situation.
Well, Stevie, why the flustered look?
I've got problems with a psychiatrist, Cal.
Oh, don't tell me you've taken up that Hollywood hobby.
This is business. It might make a story for that hungry editor of yours.
Well, in that case, I'm all ears.
I know, but I didn't think you'd admit it.
Funny boy. Come on now, give.
Well, it's a female psychiatrist.
Oh, brother, I'd like to get one of those on a couch.
Curb your wolfish tendencies, my friend. I was supposed to bodyguard her. A patient of hers who says he wants to marry her has nabbed her. She's disappeared.
Uh-huh. And if I make a few inquiries, I can have the story.
Yeah. Hey, I just remembered something.
What?
I gotta get over to the police department. I want Rankin to put a watch on this guy's wife.
You mean he's got a wife and he wants to marry his bug doctor?
That's right. Some guys are never satisfied. Well, see you later, Cal.
Okay, okay, Granger. I'll put a man to watch Celia Roylance.
Thanks, Jake. Any news of a husband?
We've got every available man on the force looking for Mark Roylance. Nothing happens. Three or four rumors that he's been seen, that's all.
Maybe he got out of the city.
It's possible, but not probable. The highways are being covered. So are the trains and the stations. We've got to find him, but I don't know when.
I hope it's pretty soon. If he gets an idea that she might double-cross him, we'll have a killing on our hands.
Just a second, Granger.
All right.
Lieutenant Rankin.
Lieutenant, this is Dr. Damon. I want to drop the charges against Mark Roylance.
I see. Will you confirm that in the morning, Doctor?
Certainly.
Doctor, is that Doc Damon?
Yeah.
I want to talk to her.
No, just a minute. Steve Granger's here, Doctor. He wants to talk to you. Here, Granger.
Right. Hello? Doc, where are you?
Granger, I'm glad you're there. I want you to hear this, too.
Just a second. Rankin, get a check on where this call's coming from.
But, Granger...
Go on, don't waste time. Still there, Doc?
Granger, I just told Lieutenant Rankin to drop any charges against Mark Roylance.
What?
And I mean just that.
You're with him now?
I'm still a doctor, and he's still my patient. I made this decision in his interest.
Doc, are you all right? Is he violent?
I can't say any more.
Listen, is he standing there telling you what to say?
Mr. Roylance is across the room from me. I'm using my own judgment, and I think it's good.
You're going to marry this character?
Why?
Well, he'd better get a divorce first. He's got one wife now. What's he trying to do? Corner the market?
Goodbye, Mr. Granger.
Well, I got it for you, Granger. It's up north a ways, at summer resort section, near Bear Mountain.
Thanks, Rankin. You know, I'm going to run up there. I don't like this thing. Want to come along?
Granger, Dr. Damon dropped our charges. We can do nothing.
I can. I still owe him for that hit on the head. Lieutenant Rankin gave me detailed information. I nodded so long, got outside, rented a car, and went north. Sometime later, and after some sleuthing, I slowed down near the spot designated. This was it. The last cottage in the group. The place was completely dark. I walked up the steps, gun in hand, with a feeling that things were very, very wrong. I moved inside, waiting for a gunshot, a knife, a weapon of any kind. Nothing happened. The place was as quiet as a morgue at midnight. I felt for a light switch. Then I spotted Mark Roylance lying face down on the floor, not breathing. Then Dr. Damon swam into my view, sprawled a few feet away. But she was alive.
Oh.
Doc.
Oh.
Doc, are you all right?
What? Where? Oh, my head.
Here, I'll help you to the couch. Come on.
Mark Roylance. Where is he, Granger?
It looks like Roylance is dead. Somebody gave it to him with that big candlestick.
Dead?
What happened to you, Doc?
I don't remember.
Doc, listen. A man's been killed in this room. You've got to remember.
Sorry, Granger. It's all a blank.
I found a telephone in the cottage and notified the local police, asking for Lieutenant Rankin to be informed. They arrived, complete with equipment and a doctor. He examined Dr. Damon, pronounced it concussion with resultant amnesia. She was taken back to a New York hospital, just as Rankin arrived.
Well, it doesn't look good for a Granger.
Fingerprint boys come up with anything?
They did. Dozens of prints. All hers.
I don't get this. Dr. Damon doesn't look like a person who would commit murder. She telephoned, remember? She and Roylance must have got together.
Why, of course. Close enough so she could give it to him with that candlestick.
That's impossible. She'd have to hit Roylance over the head, right?
Yep.
Then she knocks herself out. How?
She could bang her head against a door jamb or something hard. It would leave a lump, cause a minor concussion, and she could pretend about that amnesia.
Rank in your guessing.
Look, we found a dent in the door jamb between the kitchen and the living room.
That proves nothing.
The men found some hairs there. They claim those hairs came from her head.
That I can't believe.
Well, don't. I'm asking the coroner's jury to believe it. And they'll probably indict her for murder.
As Lieutenant Rankin made the last statement, he looked as grim as a tax collector. I made my excuses, got back in my car, and drove back to New York and the hospital where Dr. Damon was confined. The attendant doctor was noncommittal.
Ranger, Dr. Damon won't be able to speak rationally for several days. Of course, she mutters things now and then.
Mutters things like what?
Nothing important. Sometimes she appears to be in conversation with the dead man, Mark Roylance.
Darkness is extremely important. What does she say when she talks to the dead man? What have you heard?
Rambling things. She mentions divorce. How he won't have to go back to the sanitarium. Things that don't make sense.
To you, they don't. But to me, that's a different story. Let me use the telephone.
Granger speaking.
This is Granger. Did you find anything else out at the Royal Aunt's cottage?
No, except the remains of his watch crystal.
Was he wearing a watch?
Yeah, he was.
Thanks, Lieutenant. This is something I want to sleep on. I did just that. The following morning, I remembered something written on Mark Royal Aunt's file card. The address of an attorney, Alan Stafford. I was at his home as early as I dared.
You say you're a private investigator, Mr. Granger, and you want information about Mark Roylance. Why?
Why? Because he's dead, Stafford. Murdered.
What?
And I'm working with the police on it. Now, what's your opinion of Roylance's mental condition before he was murdered?
Well, I've always said he was rational, completely so.
Would it be rational for a man to want to marry one woman when he had a present wife?
Granger, I can't discuss this. It's highly confidential.
Stafford, Mark Roylance was brutally murdered. This is no longer whimsy. This is the McCoy.
All right, I'll tell you this much. Mark Roylance was going to file for divorce.
Why?
I can't tell you unless it's vitally important.
Would you think it vitally important to save somebody from a murder rap? A rap they're not guilty of?
What would you want to know?
Just lean back and start talking, Stafford, because I want to know everything. Alan Stafford was still the wily attorney. He wanted my identification. Apparently still doubtful, he double-checked with Lieutenant Rankin, the police department. Then he loosened up and told a story. A story that wrote finish to the mystery of Mark Roylance's death.
Granger speaking.
Jake? Granger. I asked you to have a man watch Celia Roylance.
Yeah.
Did you get a report on what happened?
Yeah, wait a minute. I've got it here somewhere.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Our man reported seeing Celia Roylance leave early in the evening. She drove away in her own car.
Thanks, Lieutenant. See you later.
Granger, what are you up to now?
You'll know in a little while. If I'm wrong, I'll wind up with a charge against me. If I'm right, you owe me two things. First, Dr. Damon. Second, an apology. I was going to play a long hunch. I went to Roylance's apartment house and asked questions about a certain automobile. Then I asked to see it. What I saw and what I remembered seeing at the cottage sent me upstairs.
Why, it's Mr. Granger.
How do you do, Mrs. Roylance?
I'd ask you in, but I just heard about Mark. It's terrible.
Well, despite your apparent grief, Mrs. Roylance, I want to talk to you.
No, how dare you?
Mrs. Roylance, where were you last night? Were you in this apartment?
Why, yes.
Then who drove your car away, your twin sister?
Well, I did go for a drive.
I know you did.
Granger, you have no right to act like this. You are not a police officer. I want you to leave immediately.
Mrs. Roylance, was your husband filing suit for a divorce?
No, of course he wasn't.
And I got news for you. The papers are being drawn up in his attorney's office. I saw them.
That's not true. Mark was in love with me. You're saying horrible things.
You're very clever. You married your husband when he actually was mentally incompetent. before he was sent to that institution.
He knew what he was doing?
Not then. But he realized what he had done when he was released. Then he contacted Alan Stafford, his attorney.
Why don't you let me alone? I don't know anything about this.
When your husband started his treatments with Dr. Damon and conceived this plan of remarrying, you got worried. You knew that the doctor could declare him incompetent. His estate would go under the management of his attorney.
That couldn't be done without my permission.
A doctor might be able to override your refusal. Alan Stafford would take over, and you'd never be able to get your hands on that lovely, lovely money.
How dare you talk that way to me? Get out!
Mrs. Roylance, you killed your husband last night. You were at the cottage. You slugged Dr. Damon with that candlestick.
I understand her fingerprints are on the candlestick, not mine. Also, they found a mark on the door jamb. Some of her hair got caught there, too.
How do you know about the mark on the door jamb?
Because I...
read it in the papers. They haven't got the story yet.
Get out!
Your husband's watch crystal broke when he fell. You probably stepped on a piece of glass because there's one piece missing. Care to let me look over the soles of his shoes?
All right, Granger. Put up your hands.
Oh. The lady also has a gun.
The lady will use it, too, if you make one move.
This begins to resemble the old Mexican standoff. How are you going to get rid of me?
You're a man. You're also commercial. I thought we might talk.
Not while you're holding that gun.
I don't intend to put it down.
No. I think you will. Well, friends, that's the story. I'll be back to wrap up the case in just a minute. Celia Roylance hesitated that one vital second necessary for me to grab a gun hand. The gun was fired into the ceiling. The homicide crew took it on to headquarters, where she finally admitted that she had killed her husband. I got together with Dr. Damon several days later, when she'd recovered.
You were very clever, Granger, about that missing piece of broken watch crystal.
Well, I deceived you, Doc. There never was a missing piece.
What?
It was a gag. It worked. But what I'm curious about is why you made that phone call to Lieutenant Rankin. Was your talk really on the level?
Yes, it was. It suddenly struck me that Mark Roylance was perfectly normal. He told me about his marriage and asked me to help him.
So that was it.
He wanted me to go to his attorney. I agreed. That's when I telephoned Lieutenant Rankin.
Well, why were you so mysterious? Why not just tell the truth?
I wasn't being mysterious. I just didn't want to discuss the matter.
You very nearly not discussed yourself into a death cell at Sing Sing.
I don't know how to thank you, Granger. Because I certainly can't say it's been fun.
No.
But meeting you, I can't say it hasn't.
Well, that's the nicest thing a doctor ever told me. Steve Granger again. You've just heard one of the most interesting cases in my files. And I'll have another one for you. So be around next time.